Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and oh boy, is that the sound of Patreon shooting itself in the foot again? Fucking wonderful. And with me, I have...
Hello, all you happy people. I'm Jolly Pip Pip.
And...
Some reason I want steak.
Okay, I realize that's probably a reference to something, but like, honestly, same though.
You should see the way
I mean, you can stay.
Well, go on.
On the table.
Okay. Step one: get a 60-year-old Farberware broiler grill. Step two: get a boneless ribeye steak from a good place, like an actual, you know. Market. Drizzle it with a little bit of olive oil. Garnish with salt, pepper, Italian seasoning, and no less than 5 layers of steak seasoning, about a half teaspoon each. Spread it all around. Cook for a half hour, 15 minutes on both sides until it's nice and juicy on the inside, and voila. Serve with basil and butter, and you're good.
And this has been your Decibel Boost cooking lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, don't follow recipes, just go by instinct.
Yeah, that's the fundamental law that, like, people of many backgrounds understand. Whether you're like, you know, you could be American, you could be Italian, you could be Hispanic, like me, but we all understand. You don't measure seasonings with numbers. You feel it in your heart. When your ancestors are smiling over your shoulder, you're doing it right.
In other words, do with feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, that also sounds fucking tasty. Holy shit. God, steak. I mean, I already had dinner, but like, I wonder how late Texas Roadhouse opens. Or like just a good butcher shop. Shit, they're probably all closed by now. Anyway, this is not a food podcast. Yet. So, here we are, episode 362. How's everyone's week been going?
It's been, I guess, back to a normal week. I went back to work last week, and I managed through it as best I could, even though I had to leave early one day, because, I don't know what happened. I pulled a muscle, I pinched a nerve, I did something, but either way, I could barely walk, so, that was fun. That was the same day we had the big tropical storm hit us, too, so, yeah, that was not fun, but, yeah, I'm just trying to manage as best I can. I started taking, like, melatonin gummies just to help me sleep a little bit better, and well, they work. I just have to find, like, a good schedule and of how to actually take them, you know, properly, because I don't want to, you know, take them and end up sleeping through my alarm, because that would suck.
Yeah, that don't sound great.
No, but it does help me sleep, and that's very important to me, because I sleep like shit most days.
God, same. Maybe I should see about... Nah, because then I gotta think about whether or not it's gonna interfere with any of my other medication. Why does human biology have to be a bitch and a half?
I just say sleep.
Yeah.
Let you two play something, sleep.
I do try, but I don't know, maybe I gotta talk to my doctor about that. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Okay, so yeah, when I said the whole steak thing, that was alluded to something. For a while, you know how I said I've been digging into a lot of, like, YouTube food videos? To this other guy, his name is, Guga Foods. This dude makes steak. Makes steak look damn good. Like, damn, I want to try that. Like, he often experiments with, shit like dry aging or have marinade in some shit like, you know, like honey mustard or MSG or some type of shit that's like, you do it for like a day, a week, a month, or whatever how it turns out, whether there's a good or bad, or just like, I don't know, I just feel like, okay, well, shit. He makes me want to cook steak that way. or at least make sure, you know, cook steak right, because I'm, yeah.
Gotta do it right. Nothing worse than a bad steak.
Other than that, I mean, other than that, work week has been usual. I will say, now it's back to, we'll say after 2 weeks, of me having days off back to back, it's back to doing the old orders. It's like, it's back to, well, you work one, well, we have one day off here. 3 days later, they have another day off. It's like, you can't be consistent. I can't be consistent. I don't like this inconsistent scheduling. Okay, anyway, that's that. Still my writing shit, which, yeah. And, yeah, that's all.
All right. I'm gonna have to look up that channel. Steak.
Yeah, okay. It's GUGA Foods.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, they're well. He looks happy. I like him.
I sometimes, like, he passes by my For You page on TikTok, but I never clocked what his name was.
Ew, okay.
But now I know. Anyway, as for me, well, a few things while we're on the food topic. So, first of all, this past weekend was the big Splatoon Starch Fest, and the winner... Welcome to the rice fields, motherfucker!
Hooray!
Oh, ooh. God, it feels so good. That's like, God, it's gotta be like the second time in how many months I've actually won a Splatfest. Like, they finally let my girl Fry win. Shout out to Fried Rice, always had my back. And of course, the banners were very funny. Weirdly, there were only 3 Garfields, which feels surprisingly low for a competition where pasta was involved. But there was at least 3 Senshis. Bread! And, of course, a couple of people of culture making references to Hotel Mario on the Philips CDI. I hope she made lots of spaghetti! That is cinema. And then, speaking of cinema, I did have a movie date with the partner, and I showed them Inuo.
Ah, very good.
Because I know they hadn't seen that movie, but they are generally interested in Masaki Yuasa works. And of course, they loved it. As they should, because that movie is great. Also, it was the English dub, which I actually hadn't seen before. I only saw it subbed in theaters, but really good dub.
Yes, it is. Very good.
And then last, but certainly not least, since this one particular show is the current hyperfixation of the household as a whole... I finally jumped in on that there Amazon Prime series, Has-Been Hotel, which is quite a lot of fun, and I quite enjoyed it. Turns out the secret to getting me to enjoy musicals is to throw in a lot of cursing and raunchy humor, and also genuinely endearing character writing. I thought that was a lot of fun. Though, something really funny, like, my favorite character, well, my favorite of the main characters in that show is Husk. For those who haven't seen the show, Husk is a bartender working at the hotel. He is a cat demon, and he's voiced by Keith David. And I remember that, because I remember my one roommate who got me into it showing, like, the trailer, and I was, as soon as his voice came up, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy, I gotta watch now. And when I told her, like, oh yeah, my favorite character is Husk, she was like, ha! Called it! Just very excitedly, which, by the way, side note, that got me curious. So when as soon as I remember that, I went to YouTube to look up that one scene from Tales from the Hood 2. You know, welcome to hell, motherfucker!
The second result
on YouTube is that scene, but it's Husk doing it. Cinema.
That's gonna show too. Like, it's pretty good. I actually like that show. I love the show, and I mean, I won't say good enough about the amount of people just bitching and moaning about, oh, it's too much curse lately, you shut the... Y'all motherfuckers out of spoon. God, I spoil every fucking thing. It's a good show.
Listen, curse words are very funny a lot of the time. But that is...
A bunch of whiny bitch babies on the internet nowadays.
Yeah.
But that is neither here nor there. Though I am looking forward to season 2. I really want to see more of the television
same here.
Box. That man is very fascinating.
Oh yeah, that means they're still going to do for, well, season 2 and 3 and 4?
Oh yeah, it's up through season 4. Gotta stick around a while.
Yep.
But that pretty much about does it for the intro formalities. So of course, let's get down to the usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us. Pick up some new tunes for your playlist, mark your calendars for any interesting sounding albums, and all of that jazz. So, starting right up at the top here. So, last week we officially got word of the official debut album from the supergroup Better Lovers. So that probably means it's about time for the other side of the Every Time I Die coin, that being Keith Buckley's band Many Eyes, to throw their hat into the ring. As such, they've officially given a date for their debut album, The Light Age, coming out September 6th. So, you know, presumably a month lead time and all. And just as a quick note, despite guitarist and instrumentalist Charlie Belmore recording on the album, it was recently announced that he was out of the band. Much to his own surprise. So, remember however long ago it was when we talked about all the he said, they said drama about the split between Keith and the band? I think this is probably the biggest confirmation, more than anything else for me, that, it was definitely Keith having problems.
That's somehow not surprising.
But I guess we might as well talk about the music, because we're in too deep at this point. Here's what I'm going to do. I think once the actual studio albums are out, and at least for me, when I listen to them, I'll make the executive decision. Although, so far, it seems like Better Lovers is in the winning. And as for this track here, I mean, it does rip decently heavily out of the gate. A lot of it feels like 2000s metalcore to me, like very like, well, obviously I think these two guitarists played in Hatebreed, but also kind of like there's a vague Shadows Fall thing going on at parts. It's not bad per se. The production is definitely doing a lot of the heavy lifting, giving the nice heft to those beefy guitars with the tones, and of course the drums filling out the mix nicely, if I could talk. There's an okay breakdown in the back half, but I still think Better Lovers, again, has them beaten in that department. And the lyrics are very apocalyptic in tone, presumably about experiencing a sense of betrayal so bad that it might as well feel like the literal end of the world. And again, it's all right. I still feel like I would be spitting Better Lovers more, though.
I mean, it's heavy. It's got some cool octave effects in the guitars. And it's pretty all right, but it's not a great sign when one of your band members just leaves before the tour and the album is out. Willingly, not out of in their control, because that's a bad sign. And I think Andy Williams is just glad to not, you know, be taking part in any of this. He's just going, well, can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah, he's probably just focused on all that good wrestling business.
Yep, probably getting paid good money too.
It's sad when wrestling pays more than music. Or maybe that's a good thing, I don't know.
That depends on who you ask.
Fair enough. So, moving on to the next track here. Ever since the reveal of the 2024 XXL freshman class, so far we've paid more attention, a bit more attention to That Mexican OT than any of the others. More specifically, the fact that he just kind of happened to have, like, a really great guest spot on that last Denzel Curry project, so that's kind of putting him in the lead so far. Though now, it looks like there's another guest appearance to talk about, though I have no idea who this other guy is. Someone help me out.
His middle name is Trey Loaded, and apparently he has an album out called, Loaded, throughout this Friday. Yeah. And something that was called The Ticket. And I will say, that just sounds nice. Like, with the fat beats and the horns, which sounds, horns and pianos, it sounds much into their range, you know, especially Mexican OT, Mexican OT, which I will say, I still think he still makes a solid rapper. I mean, the other guy, I think he sounds okay too. I don't got that sudden flair to it, which is cool. I will say, he's decent.
I'm trying to remember what is that melody that the trumpet is playing. Because I feel like I've heard it before, but I can't put a name on it.
Yeah, that was confusing me too.
Moving on to the next track. Bruiser Brigade! Cue the low health sound from Legend of Zelda games. We got this new Bruiser Wolf track here. Specifically linking up with a producer named I want to say
Filthy, but I don't know if it's like Filthy. I don't know.
I don't know how you pronounce that name. I just know apparently they've worked with the likes of Blade and Playboi Carti. So take that as you will. So the track here is called Rope Chain. And of course the beat's pretty slick. It's got trap beats with this nice kind of minimal, sleek coolness to the melodies. Letting, Bruiser Wolf flex his very weird flow and lyrics on the track. Of course, you get lots of references to, slinging dope in the game. And just weird lines like, I hit my thoughts with Crocs in sports mode and she'll love like pornos. And of course, apparently, now you can buy Blow with a QR code. Oh my god. Nobody likes QR codes, goddammit!
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. And of course, his delirious flow. This is why he's one of the interesting rappers out there. Because he got this flow, this delivery he does. It sounds like come out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Like the white girl used to pop in. Yeah, I was a dysfunction nigga moving up in. but yeah, it's good to see Bruce Wolf still do some things, especially the album. The album he did, which was pretty good, pretty solid.
Yeah, there's some it's good stuff. Now, moving on to the next couple of tracks here. So, looks like Elucid, the rapper and producer commonly known for being one half of the duo Arm & Hammer, is gearing up for a new solo project of his own coming out October 11th, titled Revelator. And to go with this announcement, we have not one, but two tracks here to discuss. So first up is this song called Instant Transfer, which, as you could probably expect, is one of two songs that features the other half of Arm & Hammer, Billy Woods. Also worth noting that while this track was produced by Sam I Am, apparently it was recorded at the Alchemist Studio. Interesting.
Oh,
nice. I guess the Alchemist just... I kind of wonder why they went with Sam I Am and not the Alchemist, but...
I guess it must be French or something. I don't know. I mean, Alchemist, people going out to the studio, so a lot of times.
Fair enough. So, yeah, the beat, it's got this real haziness, this kind of like big hazy wall sound in the background. A decent amount of bassy low-end going on as well. Both of the verses that we get from these guys are pretty out there. Some choice lines from Elucid here are like, numbskull at a gun show, fuck a gumshoe, talking legalese, paperwork, need to see it, please, slack walk, I remain raw, five side, keep the tape warm, I think you might just be psychic, counting up in the dark, I might work with the wires if we talk about power. And then Billy's, his verse, I feel like it's braggadocious, but like in the very lyrically offbeat way that you would expect with him, like, it's all skeleton keys on the key ring I keep, keys I never seen before for places I never even been. Luxury cars, I key them and go to sleep. Smug, wake up, spend $250 on drugs. Oddly specific.
Okay, yeah. Well, the other line for him is, man said free my guys, I cannot lie, I don't know if they should be free.
Oh, yeah, because like, rappers are always talking about freeing their homies, but like, I don't know, maybe sometimes they're probably guilty of some sus shit, just saying.
Free my homie Boopsy! What'd he do? He shot a kid. Man, fuck him.
Fuck him in particular. And then, of course, the other track here is called Slum of a Disregard. And this is all Elucid. Bars and production. So, as you can imagine, it's even weirder. You have this drum beat that almost sounds like it's being played on kind of like a very rusty kit, punctuated by a lot of like industrial sound effects, almost kind of like it's picking up a construction site in the background. And only the first half is kind of like a formally structured song, because like about halfway through, it loses kind of like the formal tempo. You kind of get this bit of like drums soloing, like you know the big like finisher drum solo at like the end of a rock concert, you know, those kinds of drums. Just go look up old rock footage, you probably know what I mean. And then some of like the buzzy low end synths and some choppier vocal samples. And while the lyrics are again are pretty like, you know, very strangely constructed, from what I can tell, I almost feel like, I guess it's supposed to be a song about what's been going on in Palestine recently, based on lines like Tel Aviv holiday, sincerity was threadbare, urgency been missing, I smile like a watermelon slice, turn the dagger too slow, too late to make it right. And then the last line of the song where he just says in plain old English, my landlord's a Zionist. But yeah, I'm honestly digging these tracks. They're very out there in exactly the ways you want out of like something from either of the two guys in Arm & Hammer. So let's see what Ellison has up his sleeve for October.
Yeah, both solid tracks. We'll see how I like Instant Transfer more, but yeah, they're both pretty solid.
All right, and moving on to the next track here. So September 27th is going to see the release of Servitude, the newest album from the Black Dahlia Murder and first after the death of Trevor Strnad. We've already had a peek of like the album's lead-off single and what the band sounds like now that longtime rhythm guitarist Brian Eschbach is taking over for vocal duties here. Now we have single number two here called Mammoth's Hand, and there are definitely a lot of woolly mammoths in the music video. And violence, can't forget the violence. So pretty much the entirety of the song kind of rides on this very steady, like, mid-tempo vibe compared to just how fast and in-your-face the last one was. The drums ride that groove pretty nicely, occasionally double-timing things, while throwing in a lot of the expected, like, eccentric, like, cymbal sticking patterns and the such. The guitars have some nice heavy chords to kind of, like, play off of that as well, not to mention a lot of that expected melodic interplay and harmonizing to complement the song's feel and slower pace. An occasional time signature switch up to liven things up a bit, but, you know, kind of a slower track, but it still got that, like, really satisfying chug and heaviness that you'd want out of, like, some good Black Dahlia, you know?
Yeah, and I'll just say those drums are tight, and they sound crisp and clear and very grooving. I like that. Make the drums sound like actual drums, not like thuddy pads with pillows on them. Also, a good use of making the video look like something you'd see on MTV in the mid-90s, like 2 a.m.
Ah, yes, excellent. And man, now I'm just sad that I don't think Toonami shows music videos anymore.
I don't think they have for a while.
Yeah, not ever since fucking Zaslav.
He ruins everything.
Yeah, but let's not dwell on the bad things. Let's dwell on the mediocre things with this next track here, which I don't know how else to say it. So I'm just going to quote the headline of the Stereogum article by none other than Tom Brihan. Lenny Kravitz and Quavo made a new version of Fly Away for some reason. That's pretty much all you can say. For some reason. Like, I can think of many reasons why many a song would exist, even for songs I don't like. Like, I remember reading some dumb shit about, like, how Lil Pump is supposedly gonna do a Joe Biden diss track.
Have you checked the news, Mr. Pump?
And while you're that's... Like... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say, he's like a month late from that, because, waste of time now.
Yeah. Oh,
someone should tell that to fucking the other guy running the election who still thinks he's running against Biden. But anyway, my point is, while that is a terrible sounding idea, I still get why that exists. Or would exist, in, you know, assuming it's actually happening. But, like, I cannot think of why Lenny Kravitz would do a new version of Fly Away with Quavo. And the thing is, like, okay, so it's definitely a version of Fly Away, just one where, like, one, there's a lot of trap production and a lot more bass drops and shit, and Quavo, he has a verse on it, with, you know, plenty of auto-tune and reverb. And while I'm on the subject of vocal effects, that are they putting those on Lenny's vocals? Like, did he record a new vocal track for this? Is he, like, overdubbing himself? Are they just throwing out the old vocal tracks? Is this literally just, like, Quavo hopping on, like, a trap remix of the original song, and Lenny's just like, I gave my blessing to this, but I didn't even show up. What is happening here?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a cover song, Ronga. I mean, I say this ain't the weirdest thing Quavo. I mean, this ain't the weirdest thing Quavo has done. I mean, he did collab with Lana Del Rey on a track before this one. So, yeah. I mean, it's a cover song. I mean, I never thought I'd hear "Fly Away" remixed again in well today, but there it is. I mean, I'm just gonna listen to one from a quote. I have no strong feeling one way or the other.
Like, I heard this on the radio when it was new all the time when I was a child, and that was 25 years ago, and it was good, but this just feels unnecessary.
Yeah, just... Dude, were you really not getting any money from those Hunger Games royalties? Maybe. But let's move on from that. Oh, yeah, right, I forgot. Anyway, let's move on to the last track we have on the docket here. So, looks like we officially have word of the second official studio album from producer Phineas. No Ferb. The album is called For Crying Out Loud, due out October 4th, and, oh man, that album artwork is just like, it's literally just a photo of him looking very sad. Why would he be sad? I don't know. Maybe he's jealous that Billie Eilish got to hang out with Charlie XCX and he didn't. Someone doesn't get
number 12 on the Hot 100, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, really? Wow, holy shit. It really is Brad Summer.
Yep.
But anyway, so to go along with the announcement, we have the title track of the album, and it's definitely got, like, that kind of pop-flavored indie-rock crossover thing going on with a lot of these, like, syncopated guitar chords and this very, very aggressively rigid groove. Like, does the term COD reggae apply here? Vote down in the comments below. Or I don't know, text 555-5555 or something. Wait, is that actually our phone number, or is that the Smormu phone number? Anyway, so...
Yes?
Anyway, so the song itself does at least have, like, a bit of more of a musical idea there with some brass instrumentation in the background. You get, like, a trumpet, saxophone, and even trombone as well. But, like, overall, the song is just not really my thing. It's just kind of, like, the stereotype of, like... It really is just, like, your typical... What Todd in the Shadows would call the winner of the Fluke Indie Sweepstakes. Although I will admit, I do like the music video. It is pretty funny, as it's just kind of this constant loop of Phineas hanging out with his girlfriend. He keeps dying and getting killed, only to come back over and over and over again, experiencing death over and over and over again. And okay, seriously, Hirohiko Araki, how the fuck does King Crimson work?
It always comes back around to JoJo, doesn't it?
Everything is a JoJo reference, Alex.
Clearly, yeah. Yeah, this is pretty alright. It's solid minor key pop. It has a strong groove to it, but I'm more curious on what the opening track of the album will be, because when you name a song Starfucker, you better be cooking something fierce.
Yeah. That is a name.
Yep.
I don't know, like, it's also whatever to me.
It's, I mean, again, the quote that, again, I've used that from a quote. I have no suffering, no, the one way or the other. It's there.
One of the songs of all time.
I will now be Switzerland.
But that pretty much about does it for the song discussions. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we have some news to discuss. So stay tuned. And we're back. So, what exactly do we have on the news docket today?
Let's see. Okay, here's something interesting. So, so like last weekend, it was 323. You know, that benefit from, you know, with Disney, they do all the things, they announced a whole bunch of stuff. Which is like, oh, okay, cool. And of course, they announced a lot of things too, which one of the things being a movie called Hoppers, which is being helmed by the guy that did We Bare Bears, which, oh, awesome.
Ooh, glad, very glad, nice.
Glad, mm-hmm. I'm glad it's getting works in the Cartoon Network. Is, yeah. So anyway, so everybody knows about Tron, right?
Yep.
You know, from the first movie, you know, with Jeff Bridges, they go into computer world, all that shit happening. Then came the sequel 2010, which was just a bit of a bit with, you know, with Montanage, and of course, most people were part of that movie being the music being by none other than Daft Punk.
God, which, I miss Daft Punk.
Yes, we all do. And of course, they did announce a third installment, Tron Ares, set to come October next year, and the score would be done by Nine Inch Nails. Now, I know you're thinking, Mark, you know it's just Trent Reznor, right? You know he's done this. Yeah, I know Trent Reznor has doing a lot of scores, a lot, even though that's basically him and his, you know, and his partner, Atticus Ross, who did a whole bunch of movies, including this year being Challengers from this year. But, okay, but this is the first going to attribute to, well, this group. To Nine Inch Nails, as in they got the whole logo, everything, like the whole logo with the N, I, and reverse N, all that, like all that shit. And apparently, it also featured new songs from the band. It's first since the of the Ghost series, which, okay, that's interesting. Which, all right, see Nine Inch Nails doing a score to a Trump movie, even though it might be the one good thing about. On this movie, considering it stars Mr. Morbius himself. Which,
you know, I still actually haven't seen the second Tron movie. Everything I know about Tron Legacy comes from Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance.
I mean, I saw it.
I don't know.
I mean, I saw it in theaters when it came out. It was cool. I mean, I saw it in 3D, okay, that was fine. It's a fine movie. Jeff Bridges. I mean, of course, there's stuff with the Jeff Bridges CGI, which, okay, there's a bit uncanny. Of course, you see that Punk and Chung universe, which is kind of cool. Olivia Wilde is in there. She looked hot. So the mother girls and mother girls in there. Which I'm getting off track. Yeah. But yeah, I'll say, are you missing anything? I mean, not really. But I mean, it ain't a bad movie. Just one you might be better seeing on cable.
Or wherever they're going to put it, because, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. There's always a catch. There's always a catch to everything, like with Disney putting out a couple cool original projects surrounded by, franchising out the fucking wazoo. Even though it looks like some of the most fucking boomer ass shit I've ever seen. Why?
You know, I realize there was a bigger point to all that, but it just occurred to me that the phrase "out the wazoo" Sounds like the URL for Scott the Waz's OnlyFans.
Give him an idea.
Listen, I will gladly pay $20 a month to watch that guy eat cereal.
Contrary to popular belief, I am not blinded by franchise bait nostalgia as far as television and movies goes. Music, on the other hand, I'm a sucker for it. Give me that American Idiot anniversary release now, please.
I have no opinions about that.
Coming all in I can October, say, I will talk about it.
Yeah, all I can say is, well, hey, let's hope this, both movies, like, the music in both movies were good, like, even though, you know, even the score from Wendy Carlos, and, of course, that punk, let's just hope Nine Inch Nails does it good, I mean, despite the you-know-what.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Anyway, moving on to the next topic here, which concerns the intersection of music and football, a sport that I know very, very little about. Someone please help me out here.
Football. People like it. People go crazy for it, both on a professional level and on a collegiate level.
Oh, also, yeah. People do love making money off college sports, don't they?
Yeah. Also, football. You forgot where I'm from and live at? They love that shit here.
Anyway, so apparently the subject du jour of this article is none other than Mr. Armando Christian Perez, or as most people actually know him, Pitbull.
Pitbull Worldwide!
So apparently he's decided to, be the latest entity of any kind to buy a sports venue and name it after him. And, hell, apparently it's got to be the first athletic venue actually named after a musician. Most are usually named after weird, dumb businesses, like the fucking 1-800-ASK-GARY Amphitheater.
Huh?
That is a thing. I'm pretty sure it's Central Florida, or maybe even somewhere around where I live. I don't remember. I don't even know what they call it now. Jeez.
It was Gary Amphitheater. Like, what's that? Mr. Amphitheater. Oh, shit.
We couldn't think of a name. But anyway, on the actual subject, so I'm wondering what venue he might have bought and what he named it. So anyway, let's see what the article here. Let's see. According to this, it says that he has purchased the FIU football stadium. Hey, wait a second! I graduated from there!
Now you come from school. This is school that'll be bought by Pitt, but Mr. Worldwide. Dolly.
I mean, that wouldn't be the weirdest encounter. I'm still like 95% confident that one day on campus, I was walking to the garage where I was parked, and then these two guys just kind of like walked relatively past like where I was, and then I double backed, and I'm like, oh shit, is that Ray Schremer?
Oh yeah, you didn't say that once.
That is weird, but like, okay, so apparently Florida International University has a football stadium that's now going to be named Pitbull Stadium. I realize that for anybody who's still going to classes there, that's probably going to be like a source of amusing memes and such. Like, what if we made out in the Pitbull Stadium? Haha, JK, unless...
And you can buy his own vodka at the stadium, too, because that's something that college kids love to drink. Overpriced celebrity-endorsed vodka.
Volley 305 is what it's called, apparently.
Oh, it's like after his former alias, it's 305.
And apparently this deal also gives him a new official title, Official Entrepreneur of FIU Athletics. Because we gotta have, like, a big, title for stuff like that. So, yeah. To anybody who's still attending FIU, have fun with that. But we are remaining in Miami for this last article here, this last bit of news. So it looks like we have the lineup for this year's iteration of the Rolling Loud Festival, the Miami iteration, and it is, in fact, the 10-year anniversary. And it is a lineup that exists.
Rolling yeah. Loud? More like Rolling Mid. Ha ha! Got him.
You know, what they say. I was more like, didn't I see this before?
The last yeah. few times? Just like a whole lot of... Oh, okay then. So, I'm just going to go ahead and kick things off with the Friday lineup. So, for context, this is taking place at the Hard Rock Stadium December 13th through the 15th, which, oh, hey, that's the weekend of my birthday. So, yeah, Friday, December 13th, my actual birthday. Starting at the top, your big headliner is Future.
Okay. I wonder, are we going to be are still on that? Well, do we still like him or not? Or I don't know.
It's situational. Sometimes we do, mostly when he's working with Metro Boomin and there's Kendrick Lamar and or The Weeknd involved. But rest of the time, not really.
Yeah. Although I do appreciate him opening the salvos for the great beef of 2024.
Yeah, true.
And speaking of which, moving on from there, your other artists for Friday include Yeet. Metro Boomin.
Oh.
Please tell me they call in Kendrick. We got Lil Yachty.
Of course.
Trippy Red.
Oh, yeah, him.
Tyga?
Oh.
Tyga's still around.
For some reason.
Apparently. We got Lil Tecca. Yeah. Rick Ross. Okay. JT. Young Nudie. Big X the Plug.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Boss Man D-Lo.
Okay.
Currency.
Oh.
Huncho.
Okay.
So I think that's like, what, 3 XXL freshmen so far? Babyface Ray. Baby Tron. EEM Triplin. Lil Skies. Concrete Boys. 310 Baby, Mona Leo, Enicia, BNYX, Net Spend, Baby Kia, Millie's, Flyanna Boss, Chow Lee, Hard Rock, Wolfface Joey with two Y's, Sky Water, Xavier So Based,
oh boy.
2S DXRT 3 all. That sounds like someone's computer password.
Okay. Okay.
Isaiah Falls.
4NG6U.
Ugh. Malaison, Billy Rax, Lil Jerry, and K Charles.
Little Jerry.
I see we're still keeping up the proud who the fuck are any of you people tradition. Anyway, who wants to take over for Saturday?
Let me guess, you decline, don't you?
I will take the bullet here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. So, for your Saturday lineup, headlining it is Travis Scott.
Oh, God, why?
Okay.
Oh, God. And going through the lineup, we also have Don Toliver.
Okay.
Kodak Black.
Oh, yeah, him.
Sexy Red.
Oh, yeah, wait. Oh, yeah, the one rapper that people that fit the, well, upset about because Fantano gave her an 8 for some reason. Yeah, it's just,
Don't get mad at that. Get mad at the fact that Drake wants to be associated with her and call himself a bad bitch with her. It don't work like that. Oh, it's also Ski Mask the Slump God. Little TJ?
Yeah.
J? J?
Yeah, TJ, yeah.
TJ, okay. Put a space in there. NLE Choppa. I'm not sure that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Lucky with an I. Bones with an S. YG Marley. Four Bats with a Z.
Oh, yeah, v, that guy.
Yeah. V's, Shekwez, Le Tyler. That's L-U-H, Tyler. Like, Le. Fivio Foreign, Xavier Wolf, Rob 49.
Wait, that's where that guy went? I've been hunting for him for years.
Okay. Skilla Baby, Cash Cobain, BK the Rula?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just doing my best. Osama-san, or Samuson, however you say it, I'm not sure. Byron Messier, Fat Nick, Kill Switch with two X's, Baby Drill, Tara Reed, Rob with two B's, Banks, Danny Towers, Realist K, Raina Roberts, Eddie Baker, Molly Santana, Play That Boy Zay, Lil Crix, G6 Red Dot. That just feels like it's made out of an AI generator. Back J, Hoosh, and Stoop Lauren. Stoop Lauren won't get off the stoop.
Okay, I don't forget to play that boy Zay. Maybe because he appears on, you know, you see him on Denzel Curry songs, albums.
Yeah, I was going to say. So at least they got that going for him that day.
Yeah. Okay, and no, I guess it was Sunday. It was Sunday, which not playing there is, oh yeah, Playboi Carti. I mean, he's the, well, I guess all the Rage fans would be happy. I don't know, all you opium motherfuckers. That's the, but, you know, yeah, whatever. But yeah, okay, anyway, but what's playing in there is, got Lil Baby, Bryson Tiller.
Emma. Meh.
Yeah, and Ken Carson. I think that's another opium motherfucker. I don't know. Let's see, Polo G. Okay, I heard him in a while. Oh hey, oh I don't know if you like Denzel Curry. Which,
why is he not a headliner?
I guess he's not big enough. He's not, you know, mainstream enough like the motherfuckers. Which. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got Destroy Lonely. I think that's another opium. I don't know. I don't know. Like I heard before, it was like some. Yeah. There's some. Okay. Shibuzi. Who I still think has number one song.
Yep.
Which again, you keep it. Again, making sure you keep Mogamo off that spot, which is good. Right, you got Chef G and Sleepy Hollow with an A, Hollow. Got Friday with two Y's. Rich the Kid of somebody who I haven't heard in a while, maybe for good reason. Homicide Gang with an X. Yeah. Rich Amari. OT7 Kwani. Tia Kareem, okay. Real Boston Richie. Name is all the XL freshmen here. Huh. Oh, yeah, speaking of one. Lay Banks. There's a lot of these motherfuckers in here, man. Alright. Tana. BLP Kosher. Kara Boo.
Funny.
Yeah. Boo. Filthy, the one with a, okay, I don't know, they spell it differently. This one has an L in it. It has the one, also, there's an L in it.
What the fuck? Yeah. Let's not dwell on it too much. I don't have time to be asking questions.
Alright, then I've got LaserDim 700, Low Shimmy, Maxwell Cream, I know that one. 41, which is composed of Cal Rich, Jen Carter, and Tata. Ryan Trey, Vaughn off 700. Clip 4-5. Horror or whole 9909. Until Japan, Steve Stunner, Skyler Blatt, Sid Shane, Bad Neighbors, Little Birdie, and Drown Millie. Sounds by DJ Scheme, DJ Stevie J, and DJ Five Venoms.
Oh God, Five Venoms! What is this, Clone Wars? Maximum Carnage.
I mean, yeah, it's a Rolling Loud Miami Festival lineup, all right. I've seen this before, like last year or the year before that, or maybe because they just get almost the same type of same people in there every year. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, this is what I get.
Can I just point out the weird ticket situation they got going on here? Because this is kind of odd. So, your general admission passes, which gets you just in. General admission plus, which gets you, as it says here, fast lane entry and air-conditioned restrooms.
I know it gets
hot in Florida, but come on, don't do that. That's just awful. But then there is the VIP, which gets you front row seating, private merch showroom, free glam at Bunny's Bay Bar, whatever the hell that means, free barber shop and free tattoos, so that's neat, I guess. And the VIP Munchies ticket is what it says here, which also gets you an exclusive merch pack and 10 meal vouchers.
Okay.
I'm looking at this chart right now, and why does it feel like I'm looking at, like, you know how every game that has, like, pre-order bonuses has to come with a fucking Excel spreadsheet to track which fucking ones you get at which stores?
Yeah, it looks like something from either Sega or Ubisoft.
Yeah, and seriously, making air-conditioned restrooms a viable perk feel like, if I was writing this in, like, a sci-fi movie about class disparity, I feel like the script would get tossed in my face for being too on the nose and stupid. Reality is stranger than fiction.
Well, Tim was about to say I wanted this. I don't know why, but I keep reminding myself that, well, I think it was one while one time that Kodak Black had a chicken wing shop. He charged a lot of money for that shit. He charged money for seasoning or flavor.
Oh God!
Oh yeah! Apparently the wings weren't even good.
I knew there'd be some bullshit when I saw that, and well, that confirms it.
Motherfucker, your wings are shit, and so is your music. So, yeah, for those of you that have an interest in the 10th anniversary of Rolling Loud Miami, there you go. Honestly, I wonder if there's a limit on General Admission Plus, because, like, obviously, AC restrooms are probably, like, the nicest perk that I would be willing to pay for at a music festival. Because, goddammit, I'm not going to sweat my ass off while taking a shit in a porta potty.
Ew.
Exactly. Yeah, but, see, you understand.
Yeah, that, and hearing everything about porta potty made me realize that, yeah, I hate, I don't want to go near them, or if I had to find a restroom, I want to be inside.
Absolutely fucking lutely.
When I can rock me or do some shit when they shoot in the air and shit just flies over.
Oh God. Ugh. But enough shitty jokes. Let's move on to that's pretty much all the news talk, and we have one last thing to bring up here, and that is of course the new album releases for August 16th, 2024, which the pickings are a bit slim. So in terms of at least new releases, as we mentioned, there is that Trey Loaded album, Loaded. There's the newest Dark Tranquility album, Endless Signals. From Foster the People. We have their new album, Paradise State of Mind. God, there's a name I haven't thought about in years.
Yeah, same here.
Tinashe with Quantum Baby, which I thought that came out already.
No, I think the song, I don't know.
Or am I thinking of something that else that might have had the same name, but that's neither here nor there. And last, possibly least, depending on who you ask, Post Malone with his venture into country music with F1 Trillion.
Yep.
And Lil B was right about him. Look out, everybody. He's going to do something racist in at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want, yeah, that's the way question about him doing country, but when Beyonce does it, y'all like, oh, she can't do country. She's R&B. Motherfuckers.
And yet, not a peep from the guy who did the song called White Iverson.
Not a word. But anyway, yeah, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internets?
Still for now, this show, my other show, Discord, other Discords, I'm just still trying to get my head in a better place than it is right now, because, yeah, shit be rough, yo.
Yeah. Hopefully they get less rough. Mark, what about you?
The usual at Metro Media, where you can find me, where I'm just, I don't know, just posting, just doing whatever random shit. And, of course, my site, my hype1news.com, where, okay, I know he's saying somebody posted there soon, but this week, that might happen. Just, well, it's related to this show, but you'll see.
Fingers crossed. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surreresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to, follow us on Twitter, @surrerezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surreresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to find the link to our Discord server as well, so you can be immediately notified whenever new things go up there. That'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with not just the usual weekly business. Well, okay, the usual weekly business. And we'll be back later this week with the roundup for July 2024. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Have a good rest of your week. And until next time, man, I'm suddenly less enthusiastic about this whole One Piece anime remake. Give my boy his melanin back, you fucks!